health, even as your soul prospers. Three important things. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. That you do what? You prosper. So it is God's wish above all things that the Christian prospers. Prosperity in your body, your soul, financially, everywhere. Prosperity. So you are not wishing to prosper because you've seen somebody who is prosperous. You are wishing to prosper because, or you want to prosper because God says so. That is the right mentality. Why do you want to be very rich? Because God says so. It is God's wish for me. That says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, that you be in health. God, the Holy Ghost, says that he wishes that you be in health. Even as your soul prospers, it means that God is not sitting down checking, using sickness to train you. No. Or to teach you a lesson with sickness. So we can't sit down and say, oh, we don't know. My brother is very sick, but I don't know what God is up to. Maybe God is up to. You know what God is up to. Maybe at first you used to think that way, that I don't know what this sickness is up to. Or I don't know what this person's sickness is up to. And I don't know. Or you used to think that way. That is why I'm teaching the word of God. It says, I wish, God says, I wish above all things that you prosper. Who? You. And you be in health. So that is God's will for your life. To prosper and to be in health. To say God, that is God's will is even small. That is God's greatest will for your life. That you prosper. That you be in health. As your soul prospers. So it's important that your soul prospers. The prosperity of the soul. It's important that you prosper. That you be, remain, abide. The word be means to abide. To stay. To live in. Someone says to continually dwell in health. God's greatest wish for the Christian. Why? Because when you are sick in the hospital, you wouldn't be able to come to church. You say, God wants us, he's teaching you a lesson with your leg hanging in the hospital. What lesson? How will you come to church and be and receive the word of God and grow? And God says that come to church and he's teaching you a lesson in the hospital. Why won't he teach you a lesson in the church? Are you following me? So it is God's will for us to be in health. God's purpose, God's thoughts concerning our health is what is revealed. See, let me tell you this. God's word is his will for you. When a person dies and you want to know what the person has left behind or the person's will, what do? You look for the will and you read the will. When you read the will, you discover what the person has left behind for you. God's word is his will. That's what the scriptures call the word of God, the word of his grace, which also means the word of Christ, which is also the word of the New Testament, because grace came through Jesus Christ, and grace is Jesus Christ. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So someone's will, Christ's will, is the New Testament. It is the new, it's called the new. The testament actually means a will. That is the meaning of a testament. So when we say this is a testament, it means it's a new testament. We're talking a new will left behind by Christ Jesus. He died and left his will behind and arose again and became the advocate of his will. So now Jesus is the lawyer of his own will for you. And so Jesus won't cheat you out of his will. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But that is his will, his provision, his thoughts. The will of a person is the person's thought concerning you. The provision of a person concerning you. What a person has provided for you. And one major article in the will is 3 John 2. So it says, I wish above all things. Suppose somebody comes to me and says, my husband is dead. and I want to know whether she left me something or her will, what her will, what his will was, and all of that. What will you tell the lady or the person? You tell the person to go and look for the husband's will and do what? And read it. So the word of God is the wish, the will of God for us. The desire of God for us, the provision, the thoughts of God, the mind of God for you. And then he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. See, I refuse every sickness. Why? Because God has not given me sickness. You understand? He did not say that I will be sick and then I will be well. He didn't say that. When you read scripturally, I didn't want to go straight from the New Old Testament and all of it. I just wanted to take it from the New Testament. Would have taken scriptures upon scriptures. You see health, healing throughout the scriptures. So God's will for us is for us to live in health. Are you following me?
Yes.
To live in health. And now that Jesus is the advocate of his will, and we know the will for us, we know the provisions of God in Christ Jesus for us concerning health. That's why I said healing and health are our rights in Christ Jesus. Healing and health, they are our rights in Christ Jesus. Anybody who is in Christ Jesus is entitled to healing as a right and to walk in health as a right. I mean, say you are walking in health, it means that you are not sick and you are getting healed. But if you are sick and you are getting healed, it's your right to be healed. But God doesn't want to stay, he wants you to stay there, and I'll explain that one later. Shout hallelujah. So it is important that sickness, number one, is not normal. Any form of sickness, any kind of sickness, is not normal to the Christian. Listen very carefully. It's not normal to the Christian. And God wants you well. And God has spelled it out in his will that he wants you well. I don't know why you want yourself to be sick. You understand? God has spelled it out that he wants you to be what?
Well.
To be well. That you prosper and be in health. And remain in health. It's very powerful. When you're going to take your time and just meditate on that scripture. God wants me to remain in health. How will I remain in health? That's what I'm teaching you now. So I'll be teaching you. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shall we open our Bibles to the book of Mark? Quickly. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Very important. God's will is for us to heal. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. When Jesus was speaking, he says, I do only that which pleases my Father. He said, I do only that which pleases my Father. How many of you have heard that before? Jesus said, I do only that which pleases my Father. He says, it is as it is written of me, I come in the volume of the books to do your will, O God. To do what? To do your will. And we know that when Jesus came and was walking on this earth, he was doing the Father's will. Jesus himself was the person of the will of the Father. The testament of the Father was Jesus Christ. It is the written testament that we study. And the written testament talks about the living testament. Are you following? So the written will, that is the New Testament, is the written will of the living will. And that living will is Christ Jesus. That's why we say that the testament, One of our messages, I said, the testament is a person. It's a person. But then listen, Jesus was an expression of the will of God. Jesus only did what God wanted him to do. And we know scripturally that Jesus healed the sick. How many of you don't know that Jesus healed the sick? How many of you don't know? So Jesus healed the sick. Why? By healing the sick, he was showing us what one of the will of the Father was. Because it was God's will to heal the sick, Jesus healed the sick. And he said, as it is written of me, I come in the volume of the books to do what? To do your will, O God. So healing the sick for Jesus Christ was doing the will of God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Open to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 41 quickly. Shall we all read it together? 1, 2, go. And said unto him, what?
I will.
I will. The leper came to him and said, if you will, you can make me whole. If you do what? Then Jesus said, I will. Jesus did not say, okay, if you are not very sure, you go home. No. He said, I will. Then he says, be thou clean. I will. I want to heal you. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, I want to heal you. He says, if you will, if you want to. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion or with mercy. He had mercy on the guy. And he said, I will. If Jesus willed to do what? To heal such that leper, then he wills to heal all that are sick. Because the scripture says God is no respecter of persons. So God doesn't say that this person is like this, so let me heal, and this person is not like that. No. It shows us the will of God as shown us by Christ Jesus. It's very important. There are a lot of Christians who don't know that it's God's will for them to be healed of a particular sickness. There are a lot of Christians also who don't know that it's God's will for them to heal somebody of a particular sickness. And some don't know that it's God's will for them to walk in health. Three important things. God's will for you to be healed, to heal, and walk in health. Write it down. God's will for you to be healed, and to heal, and to walk in health. It says, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, the leprosy left. Kola hashkele mahati shande. Bondo se kalima koski talivahasha. It is God's will. You see, if you are ignorant of God's will in any area of your life, it wouldn't work for you. That is why I'm teaching on health, healing, and I'm teaching on prosperity. Two important things. Very, very important. If I can make 5 people very rich in Ghana, I can make 100 people very rich in Ghana. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what is he saying? That I will be clean. Now listen very carefully. There are two important things I want you to write down. One is redemption. Write redemption down. Write and salvation. Now, redemption and salvation are two different things. I've explained it before, but listen very carefully. Redemption makes provision for healing. Salvation makes provision for health. Now I'm going higher, so listen very carefully. Else if I enter a certain place, you see. So write it down. Redemption makes provision for healing. Salvation makes provision for health. So there is healing through redemption. And there is health through salvation. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling. Who knows how to sing this song? That song. Holy Bash Kabbalah Hasai. So, redemption makes provision for what? For healing. Salvation makes provision for what? For health. So, because of redemption, a person can be healed or can heal. Because of salvation, a person can walk in health. And I've explained that redemption simply means what? To buy back. Or redemption simply means that Jesus took the place of man in sin and the effects and the consequences of sin. That's simple. That's redemption, simply. And salvation is our identification with the Lordship of Jesus by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Redemption and salvation. Hallelujah. So now, listen very carefully. Don't let Daisy move you. Listen very carefully. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm hearing the hallelujah from here. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm hearing only the ladies. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can hear the bass now. Hallelujah. So, redemption makes provision for healing, and salvation makes provision for health. Very important. Very important. So, a person is healed because of redemption, what Jesus did on the cross. A person can walk in health because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and where he's seated now. So I've said that there is the works of the cross and there are the works of the throne. The works of the cross are the works that what Jesus did on the cross. The Bible says he became sin on the cross. On the throne now, we are producing the works of God, including health. That is why he did not say, I wish above all things that you prosper and be healed. But then he says, you prosper and you live in health. Because of our present status in Christ Jesus. Now we are identified with Christ. That is salvation. You say you are saved, it means that you are identified with Christ through his resurrection. And now where he's seated is where you are seated. It means you say you are saved. That's what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 teaches us. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But then you can also be healed. And God's ultimate purpose is for us to be in health. But you can be healed if you are sick. And you can heal if somebody is sick. Because of redemption. So write this down. Write healing in redemption. You're writing a book. Write healing in redemption quickly. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to shock you. I've been saying a lot of things. I'm going to shock you. Just one shocking. Say, shock us, shock us.
Shock us.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Quickly. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Shotala. Gelendo shaka. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Very, very important. Say, very, very important.
Very, very important.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Have you all opened to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1? Have we all opened? Oh, but I would like you to read it because of our time.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1.
Uh-huh.
Who has believed our report?
Who has believed our report?
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Revealed,
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men.
Despised and rejected of men.
A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised.
And
we esteemed him not.
Surely he has borne our griefs.
And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken.
That's verse what?
Verse 4.
Listen very carefully. Listen. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Galando shaka. Verse 4. Can we all read verse 4 together? One, two, go.
Surely he has borne our griefs.
Surely he has done what? Borne our griefs and done what?
Carried
our sorrows. When you check the word grief, it also means sicknesses and pains. All manner of pains and sicknesses. When Isaiah was talking here, he was speaking concerning Christ Jesus. He was talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, what he was going to go through. And because he was a prophet, he was prophesying. He was predicting the future. So what he saw is what he said. And when you read it from verse 1, you see that it's very powerful. He actually described what happened to Jesus. It was the same thing that happened to Jesus. He was so much beaten. He was beaten so much that we couldn't differentiate between his skin and the blood. He had no form of no comeliness. But then he says that surely he has borne our griefs, or he has borne our sicknesses. Stay there. Let's go to the book of Matthew quickly. I just want to explain this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. And someone should open Psalm 103, verse 3. Or verse 1 to 3. Someone should open Psalm 103, verse 3. Someone should open Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Oh, Jesus. Bolo shikalaha sikalama shekelemendo sikalamandusha. Boroski lahashke limandusha. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who has opened Matthew? Who has opened Matthew? You have opened Matthew, Obed. Someone should open 103, Psalm 103. That you have opened Psalm 103. Now, Obed, read the Matthew quickly.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. That it might be fulfilled.
That it might be fulfilled.
Which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet.
Which was spoken by
Isaiah
the prophet.
Saying
that it might be fulfilled. Oh, Jesus. Can we go back? That's verse what?
Verse 17.
Go back to 15, 14. Let's see something there. What verse should 15. Be fulfilled?
And he touched her hand.
And he touched, Jesus was ministering healing.
And he touched her hand.
And
the fever left her.
And the fever left her.
And she arose and ministered unto them.
And she arose and ministered unto, that was Jesus healing somebody.
When the evening was come. They brought unto him many that were.
They brought unto him many that were what?
Possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word.
Cast out the spirits with his word.
And healed all that were sick.
And healed all that were what?
Sick.
That
it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet.
Isaiah said that surely he has borne our griefs. He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He was prophesying. When Jesus stepped into the scene, for this cause the Son of God was manifested. He healed a woman of fever. That was Peter's mother-in-law. Then he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled. So that what Isaiah said might be fulfilled. Because the person Isaiah was talking about had come. The Son of God. And was doing what Isaiah said he will do. Why? He said, surely he had borne our griefs. So before he even went to the cross, he started demonstrating that. Healing the sick. Then the scripture says that it might be fulfilled. That what Isaiah said might be what? Fulfilled. That what?
Saying. Himself. Took our infirmities. And bear our sicknesses.
Kalamashoto. It means this. Listen very carefully. Are you following me? It means that through redemption, God is not now going to heal the sick. Through redemption, sicknesses have been healed already. So, when he was healing the sick, he said, himself took our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Then Jesus went to the cross. When he went to the cross, he was made sin. Because the effect of sin is also sickness, he also took sicknesses. Listen very carefully. So the same time that Jesus took sin was the same time he took sicknesses. Because sin brought sickness and brought death. So he says that it might be fulfilled, that which Isaiah said might be fulfilled, that he himself took our sicknesses. And I've explained this thing, that is the old man and all of that, but for the reason of this, let me explain this thing so that you don't get confused. He himself took our infirmities and carried what? Our sicknesses. Who took it? Jesus. It means that if Jesus took it before even you got born again, he is not now taking sickness. He has taken sickness. When he says took, what is he talking about? It's a past tense. Oh, hallelujah. Kala mashata. Are you following me? He himself took our sicknesses. Himself. When did he take our sicknesses? 2,000 plus years ago. Now, if Jesus took our sicknesses and carried our diseases, then it means that right now, God is not healing you. God has healed you already through Christ Jesus. So God healed the sick person through Christ Jesus 2,000 years plus. That is why healing is a provision, not a promise. So he is not going to heal us so that we say God has promised us healing. He has not promised us healing. He has provided for us healing. So it is up to the Christian to take the healing. He himself took. What has been taken has been taken. So you say, oh, I'm suffering from this sickness. You are not suffering from that sickness. If you are suffering from that sickness, you are suffering out of ignorance. And that is why I'm giving you light for the entrance of thy way. That's what? Give it light. Very, very what? Important. This scripture, you can go and sit down on it for the whole week before we meet again. And tell yourself, says, surely he has done what? One day, my wife and I went to minister healing to some sick person. And when we just went to visit, and the woman said, oh, once you are here, man of God, let's bring this woman. Let's bring the woman. Let me tell you what happened. When the woman came, I opened this same scripture. Christianity is not magic. Then I said, himself, he came with his son. So I said, the son should read it. The son read it. The woman read it. I said, what is he saying? They said, himself took our infirmities. He didn't say himself will take our infirmities. He says himself did what? Open to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Himself took our infirmities. Listen very carefully. Whenever you study the scriptures concerning this area, redemption, you would realize that sin and sickness are used interchangeably. Because sickness came out of sin. How should I explain this thing right now? Now, there is a battery in this microphone. When I take this microphone, I've taken the battery. Because one is in the other. Sickness came out of sin. So when Jesus became sin on the cross, he became sickness. When Jesus became sin, he became sickness. Because Jesus has taken your sin, or Jesus took away sin. He took away sicknesses. Because he took away sicknesses, he took away sickness so that you don't be sick. This is the gospel of no sickness. The good news that Jesus took our, he himself took our He took who? Our infirmities, our sicknesses. He says he bore our griefs. Jesus bore your sickness so that you don't bear it again. Any kind of it. Jesus bore sicknesses so that you don't bear the sickness. He carried the sickness so that you don't carry it again. What he has carried it for you. Why? Jesus did not carry sickness for himself. How many of you know that? Was Jesus sick?
No.
The same way Jesus did not carry sin for himself. So he took the place of man in sin. And took the place of man in sickness. And took the place of man in death. That is why we have eternal life. Because he took the place of man. He took your place. In sicknesses. He says, no. So that anybody who believes in him will not perish. Anybody who believes in him will not be sick because he has already taken their sicknesses. It is a revelation, this one. When I explained that to the woman, I said, what did he do? So are you sick? She said, no. She jumped up. So I'm not sick again. Ask her. The next time I saw the woman, when we saw her, the first time we saw her, she was looking very thin. When we saw her again, say, hey, pastor, but she had become grown very big. Why? The difference was that understanding. Not too much prayer. Light. That what he has taken, see, it's not about healing. It's about teaching you how to live in hell. So if Jesus has taken your sickness, he took your headaches so that you don't carry sick headache. Then we say, why are you not coming to say, I have slight headache? You have slight headache. You have what Jesus carried. What are you doing with it? And how did you get it? Shout hallelujah. This is the gospel that you can go to that your sister-in-law that is dying, lying down and teach her that this is not where you are supposed to be. How important this thing is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. If I teach this thing and I go home, I've taught. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24.
Uh-huh.
Who his own self. Bear our sins.
Kalando sita. Listen. Who his own self did what?
Bear our sins.
Uh-huh.
In his own body. On the tree.
Jesus. Uh-huh.
That we. Being dead to sins.
That we being dead to sins. Anybody who is dead to sin, he's dead to sickness. And he's dead to death. That we being dead to sin. That's why I started from 1 John. Understand where all this come from. Somebody will ask, so why are people sick now? I explain to you. Why are people walking around? Say, I'm sick. Christians. The Christian. You say, I'm a Christian. So he says, who his own self did what?
Bear our sins.
Our sins. Bore our sins. Uh-huh.
In his own body on the tree.
In his own body on the tree. Uh-huh.
That we. Being dead to sins.
When you say you are dead to sin, do you know what it means? When you say a person is dead, do you know what it means? When you touch the person, does it move?
No response.
When they say somebody is dead, you touch the person and it moves. It means that. One man said it means he's a living ghost. You understand? But then, being dead to sin, when you are dead to sin, it means that sin can, you understand? Sin cannot function in your body.
Yeah. Cannot function.
Being dead to sickness. Continue.
Should live unto righteousness.
Uh-huh.
By whose stripes? Ye were healed.
You see that in the book of Isaiah, it was talking about, what did he even say? He has carried our sorrows. that himself took. Now, he says that ye were healed. He didn't say you are healed or you will be healed. You were. Where is what? You were healed. If you were healed, then why are you saying you are sick? It says you were healed. And you see, he talks about sin. Listen, when you read, he talks about who is in his own self bore our sins on the cross. The tree there means the cross. Then he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. He was talking about sin and he was talking about healing. Because sin and sickness are the same from the same person. The devil. Ye were healed. But he was talking about sin. Go to Psalm 103 verse 3 quickly. Who has opened it? Lady, you said you've opened it then. Quickly. All his benefits. Say benefits. Number one. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? So he talks about forgives your iniquities and talks about what? Healing. He talks about sin, then talks about what? Sickness. By whose stripes ye were healed. So when Jesus was going through whatever he was going through, he wasn't going through for us to cry, watch the movie and cry. No. He wasn't going through for us to wear black and say that ye could see Yesu. No. And those who are going to see Yesu themselves are sick. So that the benefit of what Jesus did is not happening in their lives. It's not being appropriated in their lives. And people just sing all these Easter songs and some of them are crying and some are watching movie. And the Christian Christ, how he was beaten and all of that, passion for Christ, and they are crying. They are saying, oh. He did that for you. What will make him happy is to see you enjoying what the benefit of what he did for you. And one thing that he did was to take your sin and take your sickness at the same time. The same way you want somebody to be saved is the same way you want him to be healed. The same time that Jesus took sin was the same time he took sicknesses. The same power that gets somebody saved is the same power that gets somebody healed. This is the truth that you master for yourself and for your family and for your generations. Shout hallelujah. So he has dealt with the two in the same two or three or four in the same sacrifice. A sacrifice of sin and a sacrifice of sickness and a sacrifice of death. So that the Christian will live now unto righteousness and live unto health. And so that wherever you find sickness, you can talk to the sickness. Next week I'll explain to you one or two things. Why you shouldn't feel helpless and hopeless in the face of any sickness. And why this truth must reign in your bodies. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That himself took. He took it. He took the thing. Took it. He has taken it. It is no longer there. Is it there? So what are you seeing? You are seeing wrongly. That's why I said, in the sight of God, sickness is not normal to the Christian. And sickness is an enemy. And in the New Testament, sickness is healing or sickness is a done deal. A provision. The provision for healing. Any kind of healing. Any kind of sickness. Any manner. Alabasoto lokoso. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's very important Very important. Look at someone, tell the person, very important.
Very important.
Sometimes we teach here, you listen, you go. This one, when you go and sit down in the house like this, study it for yourself. Say, no. Don't wait to be sick, then you are looking for one man of God. And don't wait to be sick, then you are going to take your book. Say, the man of God said, let me now study. No. I always say it. The way the person said this is, don't make conversions in the fire. Make the conversions before the fire. When the three Hebrew men said that, we know our God is able to save us. They didn't say that in the fire. They said that before the fire. And when they entered the fire, nothing happened. Imagine they had said that in the fire. They wouldn't have a mouth. They would have got burned. Shout hallelujah. So it is very important that you sit down on this thing. It says, meditate on these things and give yourself wholly to them. Throw yourself. You say, hey, I've heard this thing tonight. I refuse to be sick. You say, all these sicknesses, wait. You tell the same, you say, you wait. Let me finish this series. We will see who is who. And if you have not listened to our podcast, last week's podcast, you have missed a lot of things. I said a lot of things. I talked about Mapei. I talked a lot of things. About healing. I talked about a lot of things. It's very important. You don't know. When I talk about sickness, I talk about sickness with a passion. With what?
Passion.
Young boy dies. What happened? Sickness. Young boy. Somebody whose parents, they've taken him to school, is now in the university. What happens? They said, oh, he got sick. We took him to the hospital. We checked one or two things. They said, oh, he should have been coming for checkups. Check up yourself in the word. Do a spiritual checkup. That's why I used to say last year, I used to say it all year. Begin to speak to your body. If there is a growth growing in your body, you don't know about it. By the time you hear this truth, the growth runs away. They begin to run away one by one. Sicknesses can, you can make sickness leave your body. And can make sickness leave your auntie's body. That money they are spending on the hospital, one day from one hospital to another hospital. I heard one woman's testimony, I think last month. Somewhere on TV, I was watching one man of God. And the woman said that the daughter was sick of kidney failure. And they spent all that they had, all. She sold all her properties, sold her, even her shop. She sold the shop. And sold her only car. She said that the car that she had, the amount of money that she sold the car for, that if the car was 10,000 Ghana, she sold it for like 5,000 Ghana. They needed money. The child had been healed and she was testifying. Sickness is not normal. Sickness is an enemy. Look at someone, tell the person, sickness is an enemy. Sickness doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. And some of you want to find out how does sickness come from the devil, next week be here. Next week I'll be teaching what is sickness. Where does sickness come from? And I've said it here before that sickness is the spirit of infirmity. And I will explain to you what actually I'm talking about. Someone say, is it every sickness? Someone was asking me, Robert was asking me, is it every sickness or is it not every sickness? I say, you relax. When we get into this series, I'll explain to you what it actually means. When we say sickness is the spirit of infirmity. And explain to you how to deal with these things. Shout hallelujah. Yesterday I was watching the news. And I heard that one famous football player that I didn't know, I've never seen him before. The wife died. She died at the age of 34 with three kids. What about Ferdinand? I was like, ah. Now I went to check. When I saw the man, I said, who is this man? Let me check. Why was that the death of the wife who come on TV? Let me check. I realized that he was a football player. Oh, he's a football player. I don't know whether he still plays. And the wife died to cancer of the breast. at the age of 34 with three kids. The last one is four. Oh. And they married in 2009. 2009, 2015. And the woman is dead. And you know, it wasn't the sickness that actually caught my attention. The fact that the Ferdinand guy is very rich. One. Two, the second fact that he lives in UK, not in Ghana. So we say Kolebu doctors, you know. And gave the wife to a specialist. Specialist. And even mentioned the name of the specialist. And the wife still died in the hands of specialists. You see, these things, they are very serious. You don't know. They will spend the money, spend the money, spend the money, and the wife will die and say, we are very sorry. We are very sorry. You understand? So when I teach you these things, I'm teaching you for your own benefit. It means money cannot buy somebody out of sickness. Money. One day my wife mentioned a man's name, Steve Jobs. Yeah. I'd never heard that name in my life. That was about 2 weeks. Then she mentioned because we were talking about something about MacBook and all of Mac, whatever. That. And I said, they said the person is dead. I said, who is that? And she mentioned, I said, let me go and check this man too. And I realized that he also died of cancer in his 50s. And people say, he was old. 50, he was old. Do you know what he would have done? If he was up to 50 to 70 or 50 to 80 or 50 to 100. The impact. And that man, it wasn't even a death because I don't know him. But the issue is that the guy is very rich, very famous, known everywhere. So any hospital, anything, any place they call good hospital, he can be there. I think that they took him to all the specialists in US and UK. They realized that, no, all the specialists, this is spirit of infirmity. And when I read it, I said, no. So when we talk about sickness, we are not saying that, we are talking about sickness and all these things because we say we want you to be sick. No. We are saying these things not because you don't have money. We are saying this because you can have money and the money can still save you out of a sickness. One thing that can erase all your life savings is one sickness. One sickness. I know what I'm talking about. You can go for loans because of sickness. You can go for loans. Your relatives, all of them can go for loans because of one sickness. You take the person, they'll say, take him to US. Take him to India. They'll take you everywhere. Bring the person back, waiting to die. Then you're standing in the house or standing before your relative and watching the person waiting to die of an infirmity. You know how serious man of God was talking about. So take this thing serious now. Don't wait. Don't do what?
Wait.
Don't wait. Begin to study for yourself. Deal with the fevers. Deal with the malarias. Deal with the body pains. Then you begin to deal with other bigger ones. In your own person, you have become man of God who heals, but you're not a man of God. Shout hallelujah. You're a child of God. Shout, how many of you have been blessed tonight? If you be blessed, shout a big hallelujah. How many of you will be here next week? Today we didn't be praying much. I want you to go and study this one. Steady. Next week I'll be continuing this on where sickness come from.